Moving on now, and this is a story that we've been following now for some time on RN. The government science agency, CSIRO, is facing an appeal for the release of smoke alarm test data from 1993 onwards. Critics allege smoke alarm test data would show the most common smoke alarm doesn't activate in time to save lives. But CSIRO maintains its research commissioned by manufacturers is covered by commercial confidentiality. Any guest has this.
Laws governing commercial confidentiality have repeatedly stymied Adrian Butler's attempts to get the CSIRO smoke alarm test data released publicly.
This is the castle story, but it's a 20-year version of it.
How?
David versus Goliath. It's the vibe of the thing.
Mr. Butler was a firefighter who later went into business and sold tens of thousands of ionisation smoke alarms in the 1990s. Since learning of their limitations, he's spent much of the last 20 years campaigning against them as the co-founder of the World Fire Safety Foundation.
Should the public be made aware that the ionisation smoke alarms in their home aren't safe? Yes or no? Yes.
Photoelectric alarms are compulsory in hospitals and hotels, but ionisation alarms are common in homes. They can respond well to fast flaming fires such as a kitchen blaze, but fire experts say those fires are less lethal. They also claim about 30% of ionisation devices are disconnected after burnt toast triggers false alarms. Photoelectric alarms can respond well to slow smouldering fires, such as those started by an overnight electrical fault, which experts say become the most deadly blazes. The tribunal heard from fire safety expert and electrical engineer David Isaac, who has previously worked for a smoke alarm manufacturer, and he's also a member of a Standards Australia committee on smoke alarms. He testified that the CSIRO's test burns found ionisation alarms activate at twice to three times the safe limit set for photoelectric alarms.
But the critical test for a smoke alarm, I think even the public would agree, would be the smoke sensitivity test.
However, the ionisation alarm was not deemed to fail the test because it was being assessed for invisible combustible fumes called submicron particles, not smoke detection. The quest for data was taken to the Administrative Appeals Tribunal after the Information Commissioner upheld the CSIRO's decision not to release its smoke alarm test data. It cited an exemption under the Freedom of Information Act because the documents relate to commercial activities. Adrian Butler's sister, Bev Butler, who assisted with the appeal, told the hearing the CSIRO's behaviour was obscene, and she accused it of colluding with smoke alarm manufacturers and endorsing unsafe devices. She told how both the CSIRO and smoke alarm manufacturers had each directed her to the other when she'd sought information. Ms. Butler described the law as stupid if it conceals harm. The tribunal's senior member, Theodore Tavalis, said no one doubted, quote, the nobility and the good work of the foundation that Mr. Butler represents, but a moral cause or moral outrage isn't an exception to those subsections. The director of the CSIRO's testing unit, Mark Burgess, told the tribunal the commercial competitor was a laboratory in New Zealand. He rejected accusations that the laboratory was not accredited to conduct a smoke test, asserting that it was accredited to test to the Australian standard. Outside, Mr. Isaac restated concerns he'd aired in his testimony that no smoke alarm was ever sold based on the New Zealand laboratory test. And
I still maintain that in order to do a test report for compliance for a smoke alarm, that the only people between 1993 and 2015 that could carry out that test who had all of the accreditations to do so was the CSIRO.
And therefore you say that it wasn't exempt from FOI, Freedom of Information, for commercial reasons?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
But the CSIRO witness said that that underwriter's laboratory in New Zealand did test to the relevant Australian standard.
It did, but it didn't have an accreditation to do the smoke sensitivity test.
How much hope do you hold out that the tribunal's member will rule in your favour on that?
I'm loath to say. I think it may be so that the CSIRO are protected because, for whatever reason, legally they do have competition. But there are a number of other factors that come into it, including advice from the Australian Government solicitor to the Prime Minister's office.
He's referring to a government legal briefing document tendered at the hearing, which gives generic advice about circumstances where there may be public interest grounds for disclosure, such as if serious harm could occur to the public if confidentiality is maintained. The appeal is being followed by Keith Galinsky, whose son, celebrity chef Matt Galinsky, lost his wife and three children in a blaze in 2011, where ionisation alarms were alleged not to have activated. Keith Galinsky sat quietly in the hearing, but later said he felt pessimistic about the potential outcome. His family members were among 150 Australians and New Zealanders who die each year in house fires. The World Fire Safety Foundation alleges 70% of the homes burned would have had ionisation alarms installed. The tribunal has reserved its decision and says it will try to publish it by the end of the month.
Annie Guest reporting there. An RN Breakfast sought a response to this story from the CSIRO, but it declined to comment while the matter is before the tribunal.